We have been looking at the whole area of discipleship, and we have been asking the question, trying to ask and answer the question, what is a disciple? And what does it mean to be a disciple today? And in order to answer that question, we need to go back to Jesus himself. He called people to follow him, and they were known as disciples. However, we did consider the possibility mentioned by two Christian theologians, Professor Willie Barclay, who is a professor at Glasgow University, a New Testament professor, and the Reverend David Watson, who both suggested it's possible to call yourself a Christian and yet not be a true disciple of Jesus. You can be one who goes through the motions of going to church and trying to do your best, but you're not truly a fully devoted follower of Jesus. We saw that Jesus called these men to follow him. They dropped their nets, they left everything, and they followed Jesus. And we saw the last time we looked at discipleship, our call to take up our cross. That is, to die to ourself, our fleshiness, which needs to be cleansed and put to death. But I want to go back now just to that call of Jesus and to unpack a few things that will help us to actually understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. In the Jewish culture of the first century, as a boy, you began learning the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible. And at around the age of 4 to 6 years of age, you would have learned the whole of the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. By the age of 6, you would have memorized all of them. You would go down to the local synagogue where the rabbi would teach you. And then from the ages of 7 to 10, you would then memorize the rest of the Hebrew scriptures. And so by the age of 11, you had memorized the whole of the book of the Old Testament as they knew it then. And so when you were called to be a disciple of a rabbi would only choose the best of the best of the best. He would look out for those students who memorized well and who could understand what they were hearing and learning. So when you were with your rabbi, the way you would understand what you memorized is by asking questions. And the rabbi would ask the student a question. Oh yes, so what does Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8 mean? And the student would come back and they would go forth and back, and that is how they learned. And if you didn't match up, if you didn't pass the test of the rabbi, they would ask you to, and they had a phrase, to go back and ply your trade. Go back and ply your trade. In other words, go back to your day job. You didn't quite make it. Now, when Jesus calls the disciples, what are they doing? Some of you are awake.
Fishing.
Thank you. They went fishing. What was fishing? They were going back to ply their trade. They hadn't quite made it in the world. And they left their plying their trade and followed Jesus. Now, this is interesting because here is Jesus, a man, who is saying later on in chapter 15 of John, "You did not choose me, I chose you." You see, a student never chose the rabbi. A student didn't go through the rabbinical order and say, oh, I like Rabbi Gamaliel, I'll choose him. The rabbi chose you because the rabbi saw something in you that caused them to choose you. And Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. I am choosing you. And when he was doing that, he was saying, I believe in you. I am calling you. I believe that you can become like me. That was why a rabbi chose a student. They wanted that student not only to learn what the rabbi was teaching, but also to spread that teaching to others and to become like their rabbi. That was the purpose of following a rabbi. You followed because you wanted to become like the one you followed. You wanted to take their teaching and you wanted to live it out. And what Jesus was saying was, I believe to these disciples and to you, he's chosen you, I believe that you can become like me. I believe that you can spread my teaching one day so that the people can say, they are just like their rabbi. Remember, later on in this Gospels, Jesus comes to the disciples in the middle of a storm and he is walking on water. And what does people ask? What does Peter ask? Peter says, Master, bid me come. Master, bid me come. What was Peter saying? Master, I want to walk in water. Why is he saying that? He's saying, Master, I want to become like you. There is my rabbi walking on water. Master, I want to walk on water just like you. And the reason that Jesus calls him out of the boat is because Jesus believes in Peter. He believes that Peter can walk in water. He believes that Peter can become the best of the best of the best. And the wonderful teaching for us today is that Jesus calls you. He sees in you the best of the best of the best. He believes in you. He believes, the reason he chose you is that he believes that you can become just like him. And you may have a checkered past. You may have suffered all kinds of rejection in the past. And you may have been told that you are not good enough to make it. And now you are plying your trade. But Jesus says, I believe in you. Come, follow me and become just like me. And the disciples are there for those who seek to keep close to Jesus Christ. To keep close to Jesus Christ. And how do we keep close to Jesus Christ? And we see in the actual readings that we had in John chapter 15, Jesus and the vine. It gives us an understanding of how we can maintain and develop our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Relationship is at the heart of discipleship. Relationship is at the heart of discipleship. And that is why we need to keep close to Jesus. I have my band here, and it's called WWGD, which stands for What Would Jesus Do? That is exactly what discipleship is about. Oh, by the way, I've got some for you. I've got 49 of these. And you can have one for a pound, okay? Because a church must have profits, okay? And although it only cost me 50 pence, I'm going to make a profit out of it, okay? What would Jesus do? It's a great topic of conversation when you're in the cafe, when you're at work. What is that on you? I am a disciple of Jesus, and I continually say, and I continually ask, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus have responded in that situation? What attitude would Jesus have that he would take? And the heart of discipleship is walking close with Jesus. And you begin to wonder, how can I walk close with Jesus? And the clue is actually in the scriptures. Jesus said that I am going to send you a helper that is going to help you in every way. I'm telling you the truth. It's better for you that I go away, the rabbi goes away, because if I do not go, the helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. So the amazing thing here is that in our relationship with Jesus' disciples, Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. And it is his Holy Spirit, if you like. Jesus is the vine, the Father is the gardener or the vine dresser, and we are the branches, and through the life of Jesus flowing through us, we bear fruit. What is the life of Jesus flowing through us called? It is called the Holy Spirit. The life of Jesus is the Holy Spirit flowing through us to produce that fruit of love, peace, joy, and all the rest, okay? So the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can grow in our relationship with Jesus by him keeping us close to him. And so it's what Jesus is saying, is that it's important that you disciples, you followers of Jesus, keep connected to the vine. That is where the strength is coming from, so that you bear much fruit. Make sure that the vine and the branches are connected. Here is what one author that I read put it like this: yet many who call themselves Christians fail to depend on Christ. Instead of being attached to the true vine, they are tied to a bank account. Others are attached to their education. Some have tried to make vines out of popularity, out of fame, personal skills, possessions, relationships, or fleshly desires. Some think the church is their vine and try to attach themselves to a religious system. But none of these things can sustain or bear fruit, for the vine is Christ. The vine is Christ. So how do we develop that relationship with Jesus? And just three quick points that I will mention to help us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And the first thing is, we must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Do you yield yourself? Do I yield myself continually and daily to the Holy Spirit? Or am I becoming complacent? I'm thinking, well, the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is with me. I don't need to do anything today. But that's not true. Because we are of the flesh, we need to continually come and yield. What does yield mean? You will see somebody in some people in worship and they go like this. What is that? What does that mean? If it means anything at all. When I was a wee boy, and when I wasn't a wee boy, I used to like watching cowboy films. I loved the Lone Ranger and his Tonto. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? I loved the Westerns. And you often come and at Christmas time, I would ask for a gun and a badge. I like to be the sheriff, right? And the bit that I love most is when the sheriff gets the baddie and he goes, "Stick your hands up!" And you go, "That." And I think that's what it means when you're all doing that. The God is saying, "Stick your hands up!" And you're going, "What are you doing?" You are yielding to the Holy Spirit. You are saying, "Holy Spirit, here I am. I am totally yours. I yield to everything that you want to say and do in my life. I wake up in the morning. I yield to the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, you are in charge. Holy Spirit, I can't have this relationship with Jesus without you. So, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you again." Do you yield? Secondly, do you listen to the Holy Spirit? You see, when you walked in the dust of your rabbi, the reason you kept close to your rabbi is because you needed to listen to what the rabbi said. If the rabbi was over there and you were a mile down the road there, you cannot hear him. You've got to be close to him to hear him. And so it's very, very simple to hear God's voice. Don't make it complicated. You don't need to go into all rigmaroles and routines. You just need to place yourself close to Jesus and allow him to speak to you. And in order to do that, you need to make time. You cannot, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit will not speak to you or Jesus will not speak to you when you're in a rush. Thank God he does, because I'm mostly in a rush. But if you really want to not just yield, but to hear the Holy Spirit, you must position yourself to hear the Holy Spirit. You cannot hear the Holy Spirit when the telly's blaring. You cannot hear the Holy Spirit when you're so absorbed in something else. In order to hear the Holy Spirit, you need to do something that's so difficult today. You need to sit and be quiet and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He will speak to you through, this is the infallible word. No other words are infallible. Not from me or anybody. No other words are infallible. This is the only infallible word of God. That's why all the other words have to be checked. But this one, you read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. But you need to make time to listen to the Holy Spirit. And as you listen to the Holy Spirit, what happens? When my dad died, a couple of years ago, I could hear him saying things to me. Now, before you go any further, let me explain that. I'm not saying he came back from the dead and spoke to me. But because you're so familiar with somebody's voice, sometimes it's like you hear their voice in your mind saying something. And you recognize it as their voice. And I'm like, "Oh, that's exactly what my dad would say." And I would go, "Wow." And it wasn't my dad. My dad's in heaven. He can't come and speak to me. But I became so familiar with my dad's voice for all those years that he was my dad before he died, that I recognized his voice just like that. And sometimes my mind would play tricks and I would hear his voice. And when you begin to listen, you begin to hear and you begin to recognize. How will I recognize his voice? Well, spend time listening. Try and do that. And finally, well, there it is, pray in the Holy Spirit. Because this is the way that you develop your relationship with Jesus. You speak to him. In every relationship, over the many years that I've counseled married couples, the number one issue when they're having difficulty is in the area of communication. we don't talk anymore. He doesn't talk to me. She doesn't listen to me. They're always somewhere else. You cannot develop a relationship in silence. Even when you are profoundly deaf, you are still communicating. As I know, when I was chaplain to the School for the Deaf, I would do assemblies and I would communicate in sign language. Every relationship needs to grow. And if you don't speak, your relationship will deteriorate. It's so important. And if you don't speak to God, you won't get to know Him as well as you can. Just talk to Him. Just speak to Him. He wants you to talk to Him. Don't just talk to Him when you need something. If I did that with Heather, every time I spoke, it was something like, can you get me this? Can you do that? Can I have this? You know what she would do? You've got to not just talk, you've got to listen. So you walk around the place. I can't walk now because I haven't got the... I can't even do my thing. I can't do my thing, Steve. I'm rooted to the podium. So you would walk around and you would talk to God. Hello, Lord, it's just lovely being here with you today. Crunch. Start the car. All right, Lord. Oh, look at that. Oh, who's that lady doing? Oh, Lord, do you know what's up with that lady? Yeah, oh, look at them. They're smiling. Oh, I'm so pleased, God, they're having a happy day. Oh, here's a light. Oh, is it red? Okay, I'll just stop there. And Lord, you know, I'm going off to a meeting. I just want you to be there, Lord. Yeah, and keep talking. Why don't you do it? Do it. Just do it. Tick. It's lovely. I've done it. People think I'm crazy. I was doing it with God in the forest, and I was talking. I started to sing. I was walking with the dog, and I started to sing and talk to God. And a woman came round the tree, and she heard me yapping away there. And I was so embarrassed, I went, right, Mario, sit, Mario. I told you, Mario, that the Lord loves you. I'm talking to my dog. But God just wants you to talk to Him. You don't need to kneel down. You don't need to come into this building. You don't need to be holy, jolly God. I've been so good this week. I deserve you to answer my prayer. Rubbish. You'll never be good enough. Talk to Him like a friend. Get into that routine. Okay, don't say it out loud, but say it quietly. And your relationship with Jesus will grow. So, disciples, they yield, they listen, and they pray. May you walk in the dust of your rabbi. Amen.